There was a time, when I think about my grandfather's generation, there was a time that people did not write contracts. That the contract that they had was just a handshake. You remember, many of you can remember that, you know, a man's and woman's word was as good as a contract. When somebody said, I give you my word, you knew that what that person meant exactly. It was a handshake. I mean, some kids like pinky swear, you know. So it's like you knew there was a time that, you know, that's how, I mean, I remember my grandfather, the land that he had. We look back now, I'm thinking like, you know, that guy told you that you can build a house there. What if he changes his mind tomorrow? I mean, that's his property. And he said, yeah, you can build your house, and all by words. Just because you trusted that person when they say, yeah, I give you my word. You can live here. You don't have to pay any rent. You see, when somebody uttered the words, I give you my word, you knew it was sufficient. That's all you needed to hear. And I love to watch movies and some of the things. There was a show entitled 24 with Jack Bauer. I don't know how many of you watch it, but he used to tell people, I give you my word. Someone's like, you can count on it. Trust me. Trust me. I'm going to deliver you. Trust me in what I'm about to tell you. So I give you my word. He used to say that. When somebody said that, it means, trust me, I will come through. I will fulfill that promise which I made. Now, you and I know that you would trust somebody's word based on the character and based on the integrity of the person. I mean, not because somebody says, I give you my word, you're going to trust that person. But if you know the character of that person, you know the integrity of that person, then you say, yeah, he's going to come because he told me that he will. You know it because of who the person is who's saying, I give you my word. You know, today we know time has changed. We live in a different world today. Instead of standing upon an agreement just based on words, you know, most businesses in our society, you know, we had to look for the fine print. We had to have that on paper because it's almost like we don't know if that person is going to deliver. So, but now I have a paper to hold that person accountable. You know what I'm talking about? Like everything we do has to give me the paper. You know, I got to see that even though, because we don't trust now. We don't trust each other. We don't trust somebody's word. We're not being loyal to our words anymore. You see, and it's hard to believe people these days. It's hard to believe that they will follow through in what they say, that they will be committed to what they say. You know, and we make vows even in the marriage one. And you know how the divorce rate is like, because sometimes we cannot keep those promises. Something happens along the way and we just fall through. I mean, we still make promises, but now they're not based on words. They're more based on an agreement. If you don't come through, here's the paper. Here's the signature. You got to pay now. Now, like I said, it's hard to trust people these days, to trust one another, to keep our promises. Now, the one that you and I can certainly trust to be true to his word is the Lord, is God. In fact, if God were not true, if he wasn't true to his word, you and I could not trust him. If God was not true to his word, you and I could not trust anything that we read in the Bible. I mean, why would I trust the Bible? You know, if it's not true to what he says, you know, then we trust him because of who God is, because of his character, his attributes. That's why we trust him. And I love a passage in Numbers 23:19. And you have over there, God is not a man that he should lie, or the son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said and will not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not fulfill it? Interesting, Moses writing there said, God is not a man that he should lie, implying that most people will lie, or that most people will change their minds. You know that we change our minds, like Michael was talking about, based on the circumstances. So God doesn't need to change his mind. God doesn't need to elaborate a plan B, a contingency plan, because he knows the beginning and the end. So that's how powerful he is. He's sovereign. But you and I, because we only know this, sometimes like, well, you know, I changed my mind about certain issues in life. Or, you know, so that's what I said. God is not like us. And we have to understand that, like, we should be more like God. In our society, a lot of people want to make God into our own image, into our own liking. But, you know, sorry, we cannot do that. God is way beyond our comprehension. He's not a man like he will lie or change his mind. That's what the Bible says, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Has he not said something and not do it? He always delivered. You see, today I'm going to be looking at a passage in Joshua 21. See, God made a lot of promises, like Michael began from Genesis, and you go and track down promises after promises that he made to people. And this one, that the whole Bible is attached to this one, and I'm going to give it to you right now. Genesis 12, I think from Genesis 12 all the way to Revelation 22, had to do with this promise that he made to a man named Abraham. Abraham is the Jewish people know him as the founding father of the Jewish nation. His name was Abraham. He was a Middle Eastern man. And God made a promise in Genesis 12. He said, I will make you into a great nation. Now, Abraham had only one son. And then God said, it's not going to be Ishmael. It's going to be Isaac, which means laughter. And through him, I'm going to bless you with many descendants. I'm going to make you into a great nation. Whoever blesses you, I will bless. Whoever curses you, I will curse. And through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Man, that's big. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. I'm going to make you a great nation. And through you, all the families, that includes you and I, will be blessed through the descendants of Abraham. We serve a God. He's a God of the covenant. A covenant is an agreement between two people, two parties. So this is what we're going to do. He told Abraham, this is my covenant with you. You heard the word covenant through the Bible running through. Even Jesus said, this is the blood, this is the blood of the new covenant. This covenant. It's almost promise keeping. So he told Abraham. So in in Genesis 15, verse 18, the Lord said, on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham saying, to your offspring, to your descendants, I will give this land. What is God promising to Abraham's descendants? The land. You know, the land of Israel. I mean, people to this day, they're still fighting for that land. The Lord promised on oath that he will give that land to the descendants of Abraham. That's why I believe that it doesn't matter what governments are going to do, they will never be able to kick Israel out of the land. You know why I'm hanging on to them? Because God says that they wouldn't. They cannot. You know, Israel to this day is surrounded by enemies. And why is it that they cannot overpower them? But God said, to your descendants, I will give this land. In Genesis 26, God now is talking to the son of Abraham, Isaac. And this is what the Lord told Isaac. Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you, and I will bless you. For to you and your descendants, I will give these lands, and I will confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham. God, the God that you and I worship, the God of the Bible, is a promise-keeping God. He's making a lot of promises. And the beauty of this is that whatever he promises, he will fulfill. In Numbers, now Moses is around. In Numbers 33:53 and Deuteronomy 17:14 is all about, I will give you this land. I will give you this land to your descendants. And you remember the Israelites were traveling from Egypt, and they were 40 years in the wilderness, and then finally came to the land that the Lord swore to give to them. And that's where we are right now, Joshua 21. So you see, we went through Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. All those books over there had to do with the traveling time of Israel. The book of Joshua is the successor of Moses. Joshua was a military leader, and Joshua is the one who's bringing the Israelites to possess the land. Now, in order for them to possess the land, they had to engage in warfare. They had to fight. It wasn't easy. But now, check this out. God told them, I'm going to give you the land, but you got to go get it. You know how it is sometimes? Like God said, you got that, but I'm gonna stay here and cross my arm and wait for you. No, you want the land? You got to go get it. I'm going to go with you, he said, but you still have to go fight for it. Interesting. So in Joshua 21, I'm reading the book of Joshua again, and now I'm in the book of Judges. But, you know, I decided to make this sermon because when I read that, I had to stop for a while. You know how you read the Bible sometimes and there's something that just jumps at you? This is what happened to me when I was reading Joshua 21, 43 through 45. So you got your Bibles with you. This is Joshua talking. Thus the Lord gave, thus Jehovah, the Lord Yahweh, gave to Israel all the land that he swore to give to their fathers. And they took possession of it, and they settled there. And the Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he swore to their fathers. And I love this one. Not one of their enemies have withstood them, for the Lord had given all their enemies into their hands. Not one word of all the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel have failed. All came to pass. Man, that's a nice way to finish that. The Lord gave to Israel all the land that he swore. The Lord is a promise-keeping God. And they took possession of it. So by the time you get to Joshua chapter 21, chapter 1 of Joshua, they're already in the land. They made it. And now, because we have 12 tribes made of thousands of people, so they are portioned. Maybe there's a map. That's what it would look like, the nation of Israel. But you know that that's not what it looks like today. Because Israel just, when you see Israel right there by Gaza. So those are the 12 tribes of Israel, the descendants of Abraham. And they went to their designated territory. And so the whole book of Joshua is him. Like, you guys going there. Oh, you have sheep and cattle, but you got to go where there's valleys. You go in there. And so they apportion the whole thing. There's Israel, Samaria, and then Judah. Judah is where Jerusalem will be at. So that's the whole land. So the Lord gave Israel all the land. Now, it makes you also wonder, since some of the land's been taken, you know, what God made a promise. So I do believe that one day those Israelites, Jewish people, will enjoy that land. You know, because right now it's only Israel. You know, he has a lot of enemies surrounding him. The Lord gave to Israel all the land that he swore to give to their forefathers. He came through to his word. He fulfilled the promise that he made to Abraham way back in Genesis 12. And now Joshua brought the nation to take possession of the land and to enjoy, because the land was going to be their inheritance. He sent each tribe to their designated territory. And I love verse 44 because it says the Lord gave Israel rest. Now it's interesting, you and I need to understand when the Bible talks about the Lord giving Israel rest, it's talking about that there's no more fighting going on. We already conquered those people, we already made it to the land, and now we get to enjoy time of peace, to enjoy our inheritance. It says the Lord gave Israel rest. Because up to this point, even when they're wandering in the wilderness, they had to fight. You remember those Hittites and Jebusites and Canaanites, all those ites? Those are the enemies of Israel. And the Philistines, they were not, I mean, the Hittites were the worst. When you saw the Hittites, I mean, everybody was afraid of them. And the Lord was fighting the battles of Israel because taking them to the land of the promise was not a walk in the park. There were some people who did not even make it to the land of the promise because they rebelled against God in the wilderness. But we have this generation that the Lord brings to the land, and they're now enjoying, thousands of people enjoying the land of the promise because God kept his promise to Israel. And I love, it says, the Lord gave him rest on all sides. Can you imagine when you don't have, I mean, you know, you and I don't understand that very well, because teachers, I don't know that you can have rest when, you know, there's issues going on at school. Nurses, you know, something is always moving, and they have you pull in so many different directions. It's like for you to realize, like, you know what, I'm at peace right now. Nobody's chasing me around. The bills are getting paid. My relationship with my spouse, I mean, everything is going well. I'm at peace. The Lord gave Israel peace on all sides. A time in which Israel didn't have to fight any more wars. Can you imagine a time when you don't have to worry about anybody else opposing you? In Exodus 33:14, that was Moses. The Lord had made that promise that he was going to give him rest. The Lord told Moses, I'm going to give you an angel and you go lead the people. Moses said, I don't need an angel. If your presence is not going with us, I'm not moving from this place. Because it is your presence that's going to guide us all the way to the land of the promise. And I love because the Lord said to Moses in Exodus 33:14, my presence will go with you and will give you rest. Because you and I realize it was the presence of God who was fighting the battles. You remember when the Lord said, it's not your battle, it's mine. You know, if people come against you, they're coming against me. There were many times, many battles that the Israelites did not even have to throw a punch or an arrow. Because remember the battle of Jericho with Joshua? All they did was march around the city and blow trumpets. And then the whole city came. I mean, because God is fighting the battle of Israel. Because he made a promise. My presence will go with you. And the presence of God is the greatest weapon that you can possibly have. And so, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. And now we see that promise being fulfilled. The Lord gave Israel rest from all, on all sides. Deuteronomy 7:24-21. He said, no one will be able to stand against you. The Lord always said that to those people. To Moses, I'm going to go with you. To Joshua, just as I was with Moses, I will go with you. And no one will be able to come against you. I'm going to give you success in everything you do. But you have to keep the word of the covenant. We have this agreement. Don't twist it. Don't go the other way. You keep my agreement, I keep mine. You're going to be successful. And now we see the success of Israel in the land that the Lord promised to them, known as the Promised Land. And I love, no one of their enemies had withstood them, for the Lord had given all their enemies into their hands. Now it's interesting. We don't have evidence in the Bible, but I wish that we could have a book written by the Hittites and Jebusites. Because there was a time that many of those nations knew exactly who Israel was. And they said, you know, you don't want to mess with Israel because their God fights on their behalf. We heard a story. They heard a story. You know, even during the time of Esther, people knew, like, well, we heard that he opened the sea. Some of the people might think, well, that's really folk tales. Those nations knew exactly what the Lord had done on behalf of Israel. And they were intimidated by Israel. It was occasionally that Israel would disobey God. And then the Lord said, if you don't obey me, I'm going to give you into the hands of the enemies. But as long as you keep this covenant, no one is going to be able to withstand against you. And you see that happening right there. No one of the enemies, and they had a lot. I mean, there were at least 7 or 8 of those Hittites, Jebusites, Perizzites, Hivites, Philistines. Everywhere Israel went, there were some of those ites that they had to fight against. No one of the enemies withstood them because the Lord had given all the enemies into their hands. You know, when I read that, I cannot help but think about what David wrote in Psalm 23. You prepare a table in front of my enemies, in the presence of my enemies. You're my shepherd. And though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. I mean, that's what he's talking about. Like, he recognized the Lord's going to go with us and he's going to give us success. And it doesn't matter who's going to come against you. If God is for us, who can come against us? They talk in the Bible. And there it is. There's a promise being fulfilled. But I love 45. Not one word of all the good promises of the Lord that he had made to the house of Israel have failed. I mean, you might have made 20 promises and maybe you fulfill 18. I mean, that's pretty good. Not with God. If he made 20, 20 is going to be fulfilled. Because not one word of what he told Israel failed. Everything came to pass. I love that. God kept his promise because you and I, what we need to get through our heads is the God we worship, the God of the Bible, is a promise-keeping God. What he says will happen. What he spoke things into existing, and that's exactly what happened. We said, let there be light. But you're going to have light because God said it. You know, and let there be fruit. I mean, whatever God wanted, that's exactly what's going to happen. God is a promise-keeping God. And you and I then can trust. You can trust him. You can trust that he will keep his word to what he says. You can trust him through whatever it is that you're going through. Because if he says it, he will do it. You see, even though I was raised in the church, my dad's been a preacher for 50 years now, but I had to learn to depend on God, as a person, you know, as a young man, to be able to realize, okay, if I'm going to hang on to his promises, he's making promises. Even to this day, I need to rely on him. I need to trust him because he says, I'm with you. I'm going to take care of you. Not one word of all the good promises the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed, but everything came to pass. You see, just like the Jewish nation, God continues to make promises. Oh, by the way, and there were so many other promises that he made to the Jewish nation that still have not been fulfilled. There was a covenant that God made with a king named David. And he said to David, if you follow my command, you will never fail to have a descendant sit on the throne. And through you, I'm going to bring somebody who's going to reign in your house. Where's the house of David? In Jerusalem. He's going to reign in your house, and his kingdom will never end. You go through the Bible, that has not yet been fulfilled. It's almost like, I always call it coming soon. We do not know when, but there's promises that I find in the Old Testament that still have not even been fulfilled. God's still making promises. Oh, Jesus said, I'm going to go and prepare a place. Just John 14, 1 through 3. I'm going to go and prepare a place. And if I go, I'm going to come back so that where I am, you can also be. And then he told the followers, you know the way. Now Thomas said, no, we don't. We don't know the way. And then remember what Jesus said? I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And just in the Great Commission that we heard in the video, Matthew 28, there's another promise right there from Jesus himself after the resurrection. He says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And here's the promise. And I'm with you, you notice that? Always, to the very end of the age. Jesus promises to be with us, always. Now, I know, because we all go there, sometimes it feels like he's not around. Like, Jesus, I need you right now, man. And it's like the Israelites felt the same way. There were many times that they were like, the Lord's still seeing what's going on. He's still there with you. Never think that he's not. He will just let us go through things so that we can learn more about him and to develop our character and develop our trust in him. He has made so many promises. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And Jesus said, I'll be back one day. He's not here yet, physically. So God continues to make promises. I love what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1:20. He said, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. So through him, the amen. The word amen, only what it means is yes, so be it. That's what amen was. Amen, so be it. It's an affirmation. Jesus is called the amen, the so be it of God. Like God said, yes, it's done. Yes. So Paul says, it doesn't matter how many promises God has made. In Jesus, they are all yes. Check this out. They're like, well, maybe. Well, we'll see about it. No, no. They all what? Yes in Christ Jesus, because he is the amen. As spoken to us by the glory of God. My friends, the God we worship, the Lord, is a promise-keeping God. He's gonna be true to his word. And because he does that, you and I need to trust him. Because he's the one delivering. You see evidence of how he fulfilled the promises. There were so many pending promises that we haven't seen yet, and they're still coming. But he will deliver them one day. You can guarantee that. Jesus said these words too. Heaven and earth will pass away. Now, the word pass away, in other words, they will stop existing. They will die. Heaven and earth will pass away. And then he said, but my word will never pass away. You and I can trust him because he is a promise-keeping God. Would you pray with me this morning?